Welcome, everybody, to Chop Sports Podcast, episode one. We've got here. We did enough planning. We planned this in about 24 hours. with your host, the founder and originator of Chop Sports, Chris Gucci, and myself, Dave Sturcio. Chris, bro, welcome to your creation.
How's everybody doing? How you doing, brother? Yeah, man.
This is awesome.
Super excited. Over the pandemic, I just figured a lot of stuff on Facebook, nothing but politics, people arguing back and forth, but none of it was about sports. Like, when we got sports taken away from us, I think we all realized how much it actually meant. I actually forayed into politics for the first time on Facebook, and I really didn't feel comfortable with it.
Nah.
I wanted to start a podcast, but I figured what better way than to get like something started organically and start this Facebook group. And to be honest, it took off way faster than I expected it to. Big thanks to a lot of people that helped out. It was Ben Wexler, Jay Devlin, Nick Shine will probably be joining us next week on the podcast. Yeah, man, it's just been a great run so far. And now we got you on board. And I figured what better way to start for the 2021 and get going on a Chop Sports podcast.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm a host of the Jersey Boys podcast, which is basically three guys from New Jersey. It's with Brett Ernst. He's a nationwide known comedian. He's in Cobra Kai, which is pretty awesome. So he's my partner over there. And, you know, I've been doing all Cowboys, but I've been, like, itching to just talk everything else. And we do touch on, certain things. But I was like, I need something. And it was so funny. I think it was Duke who said something on Facebook.
Posting Chop Sports, yeah.
Yeah, big Chop Sports guy. He actually said something where I posted something on my own Facebook page, and he's like, yo, put this in Chop Sports. I'm like, what the hell is Chop Sports? What is that? And he told me, he sent me the link, and I looked at it. I was like, it was literally like walking into a bar without walking into a bar.
Exactly. That's a great way to describe it.
Yeah, it felt that way. I mean, we have our booze at home, so now we don't have to worry about spending up a big bar tab. But yeah, I mean, it's a place for people to vent, people to make fun of other people in a nice, good-hearted way. Nobody's getting too crazy yet, I guess. But yeah, for a long time, you said it yourself, like, sports was gone for a while, and it was very scary for a while. Like, when are we going to get something? I think it all started when they canceled some of the Big Ten championship basketball tournament and stuff like that. It was starting to trickle down, and I was like, oh, my God, are we going to lose everything? And we did for a little while.
Yeah, it started with the NBA. Rudy Gobert touching the mic, and then the Jazz.
Oh, yeah, remember
that?
Hey,
and then they canceled the NBA season. I was like, what is happening? But here we are.
Dude, it's insane how it was taken away from us. We take it for granted. And then, little by little, you start seeing a little more, things coming back. And it was just like, all right, cool, we got something. But, the best part about sports, and this is funny because you touch a lot of this on Chop Sports on the Facebook page, is that there's so much nostalgia. There's so much history that you and me can go back and forth about the history of something for 2 hours, 3 hours. And I'm pretty sure we've done that, at the local watering holes.
That's the main thing. This is the things that I do. I spend my time doing this anyway. Like, I'll spend 2 hours a day, probably, shouldn't be doing that, but I spend 2 hours a day anyway on Facebook talking sports. So I figured we might as well make this into something that gains some traction and get some more people involved. That's another thing that I want to stress here. A lot of other Facebook groups, a lot of other platforms, they might not let you self-promote. Over here at Chop Sports, that's what we encourage. We want people to kind of feel comfortable bringing what they do on the side to the table and, incorporating it and giving us some more conversation pieces. That's what it's all about.
Basically taking this Chop Sports Facebook page and turning it into a network of sorts, where, hey, I have a really good idea, or I love the Baltimore Orioles, or, I'm a big Toronto Blue Jays guy and I need a Blue Jays podcast. This is where you can come. You shoot us a message. You say, I want to post here. I want to promote here. Boom, you're on. You know what I mean? The lights are on and everybody's going. You know what's funny, though? And I'll preface this before we touch on some of the hot button topics that we wanted to hit. It's very easy to talk online when you're typing, but it's not the easiest thing to actually talk on a microphone.
Bro, I'll give you an example. I'll give you an example. Full disclosure, 5 minutes ago, I was prepared for this. As soon as it was my turn to talk, I just fucking froze up. I know it. You know what I mean? I'm sure you know it. The people are going to know it, but this is what it's all about, like getting over the hump, getting past things that we might have holding us back. And now here I am, I think that things are going to flow. I want everybody to feel comfortable posting. I want everybody to feel comfortable if they wanted to jump on, get an episode, get a podcast going for either MMA. We're looking for hockey, baseball, fantasy sports. If you could think of a topic that you feel comfortable, you're knowledgeable about, we'll give you a shot over here. And
yeah, just be somewhat good at it, you know?
Yeah. So, be honest with yourselves, people.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, and as we segue, you know, one thing as far as sports goes, and we're going to get right into it because why not? Because, you know, it's been on the minds of everybody. Big thing in sports is integrity. And a lot of that was questioned as we, you know, we're very well-rounded guys. We know a lot about every sport, but right now on the forefront is the NFL season and how it just concluded. And they broke it down and they beat you over the head and they said, that last game's going to matter. That last game's going to matter. How great is it that that last game's going to matter? And me as a diehard Cowboys fan, you know, obviously I sat through 1 o'clock and I sat through that debacle. And I'm like, all right, well, you know what? As long as the Eagles can somehow take care of business, you know, the Giant, you know, that's it. Like, if the Eagles win the game, great. We'll see what happened. Like, I was rooting for Washington once Dallas lost. You know what
I mean? Of course. And I was going to actually touch on that. A lot of the Giant fans are upset. It's like, I understand being upset because you want a chance. The last time I think the Giants snuck into the playoffs as a, we'll call it a wild card. They wouldn't have been wild card, but we get what I'm saying. It's got the wild card feel to the NFC East champ this season. The last time they snuck in as a wild card, they upset Green Bay, went on to win the Super Bowl. So anything could happen when you get in the tournament. But as a six win team, it's hard to really bitch.
Right.
That said, the way it went down, you know, Peterson really turned the knife.
There was a plethora of NFL analysts and talking heads and a lot of these guys that attacked Doug Peterson. And I say, I mean, you can agree with me or disagree with me, but I say they're 1,000% justified. This guy went out on a Sunday night. In my mind, if this game happened at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, nobody would have said boo.
Tomlin, you know, the NFL really, really, really gave the assist here by flexing this, the wrong game. Honestly, the Bears Packers should have been flexed, in my opinion. You know, bias aside,
and that's not just you being a Packers fan. That game was going to be good. You know, that game was for something, and the Bears were in a win and in situation. But yeah, I mean, look, the problem is, and a lot of people said this on Chop Sports on the Facebook page, that, you know, when this topic was brought up, they were talking about how, you know, that the injuries were, or the inactives list was way too high for this to even be a competitive game. The problem is, it was a competitive game, you know, and Doug Peterson kind of said, and this is how I feel, like, he kind of said, like, shit, man, this is closer than I thought. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, let's get Sudfeld some reps. And we're like, who? Yeah, I mean, you know who he is, but did he really need reps? Is he really going to be on the team next year? You know what I mean? Like
you could make the argument that Hurts, you know, I think his QBR was like 20. You know, he wasn't playing well.
Right.
But he could run the ball. The argument that you have with Peterson is like, why do I want my quarterback of the future running the ball in a meaningless game? Well, then you shouldn't have started him to begin with. If you have plans on trading Wentz, you know, start Wentz. Wentz was an inactive.
If that's not a tall tale sign, Wentz being inactive was like, bro, you played your last game in Philly.
Yeah.
There's no way. That's like when they take a guy out of right field during a baseball game because he just got traded.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Or what was that Met that cried because he thought he was getting traded?
I can't think of the name. I know exactly who you're talking about. Oh,
yeah, I'm talking about. He's crying. He's got tears in his eyes.
And then he ended up actually having a pretty good following up the second half that season. I forget his name, but I know exactly who you're talking about.
Yeah. So, I mean, the integrity of the sport, and I'm not just talking about from a gambling standpoint. Sure, a lot of people probably lost some money. I mean, that comes with the territory of gambling. You know, those are the risks. But, you know, for the guys, like, what broke me down, and I hate the Eagles with every ounce of my being. I really do. I don't have any respect for any of them. But after that game, I saw there was a scene. There was a camera out on the field, and you see Zach Ertz out there sitting on the bench by himself. And then you hear him in his interview the next day just in tears. Like, is that how Doug Peterson just ended the legacy of Zach Ertz?
The Eagles players ain't happy at all. You know, you got guys like the Jason Kelce, Carson Wentz. They've been together for a while, you know, like, and now the way it ends that way, I just think it's hard for a lot of the players to swallow. The whole tanking thing in general, players don't tank. You can't justify it because there's jobs on the line. There's families. It's more to it than just like a draft pick to these guys. Half the guys understand that coaches get fired when teams don't do well. Like, you know, you can't tell a coach, oh, tank. It's like, well, then look at how am I going to get hired somewhere else if that's what I'm doing? It's just I don't believe in the actual tanking coming from players and coaches. I do believe that it comes from up top and it breeds a bad culture. Kelsey was right about all that.
I mean, what was it? Three spots in the draft from 9 to 6 was the big payoff of all this? Like,
well, then if that's the case, then literally don't treat it like a regular season, like an actual, like it matters for 3 quarters, and then fourth quarter decide I'm not going to take this field goal. I'm going to fucking go for it on fourth down. Like, unbelievable. At that point, I knew it was over.
Yeah, well, I to be honest with you, it was a couple weeks ago. I was back and forth on Twitter with somebody, like, talking about the Cowboys' playoff hopes. And I'm like, well, if the Eagles can just, you know, get that win over Washington in the last game. And people were like, you do realize there's no shot at this. I'm like, what are you talking about? You know, Peterson's coaching for his job. The problem is the Eagles organization right before this game went on record and said, you're safe. Don't worry about it. You are coming back next year to be the coach of this team. So what do you got to lose?
Maybe it was like, so long as you listen to us when we call you in the fourth quarter.
Right?
Yeah, like,
right.
You know, maybe you're going to have to lay on this sword.
Like, yeah, you're fired.
Yeah.
I mean, it's insane. I mean, like, for that game to go off the way it did was just a little disturbing, and it left a bad taste in my mouth. However, as a Cowboys fan, when that game finished and Washington won the football game, my dad, my brother, we all texted each other. I'm like, thank God we didn't win that game on Sunday, because I swear to God, if this would have happened with the Cowboys winning and we needed
that's
Philly
what
to win,
I
would have lost it. And that's why you're hearing a lot of it on the New York market, because the Giants fans are pissed. And I'll tell you right now, Joe Judge coming out and like directly saying, you know, big screw you to Peterson. I want them to fight like Nate Robinson style. Just like get in the ring, Peterson and Judge, and just let them go at it.
I got to be honest. I have a bias towards Doug Peterson. He was the Brett Favre's backup, career backup. Best job in sports for 2 decades, pretty much. You know, making a cool mil a season just to not have to do a goddamn thing.
Actually, you know, it's funny you say that. I believe the Matt Schaub just retired.
Yeah,
Matt Schaub retired, and they showed his career earnings $95 million. How many games did that guy start? 6,
unbelievable,
maybe?
Unbelievable.
It's backup quarterback. Him. Unless you're Andy Dalton, backup quarterback is the easiest job in the world, because that guy went in there and totally got ransacked out of that.
His poor brain.
Thinking like, you know, right? Quick knee jerk. Do you think Andy Dalton logs on with a, you know, gets on a team next year somewhere?
I mean, I think that he earned himself at least, like we just said, Matt Schaub just retired. I didn't think Matt Schaub deserved a roster spot for 5-10 years at this point. I think Andy Dalton earned himself at least. He's from this point forward, a career backup, we'll say, but, you know.
Shame. It's a shame, because, I mean, he did win games and he had Dallas rolling for a little while. But you're right. I mean, like, pound for pound, there's a lot of those sacks on Sunday where I was just like, Dak would have definitely got out of that. You know, he became a statue real quick. But I'm not talking about the goddamn Cowboys anymore. Not for now. I'll get into that.
We can stick with the NFC East, though, and we'll shift right into
the NFC East as a whole.
We'll shift into the Redskins Bucks preview right here. Save us some little time.
Yeah.
What do you think?
To be honest, I think Chase Young is a great young kid, but I think he's poking the bear.
Yeah. I mean,
I want to sack Tom Brady. Okay, cool. What if Tom Brady puts 56 on the Redskins?
I'm remiss if I don't mention that I read this in the group somewhere that Washington, I think Sean Boyan mentioned that Washington has arguably the best front four in football, which usually that's the formula to take out Brady. The problem is Tampa Bay's front four isn't bad either. And I like Brady carving up Washington over Alex Smith carving up Tampa's D. Tampa's defense, their front four is legit. I just don't see Alex Smith doing it. The game goes one of two ways. Brady wins a close game or Brady wins in a blowout.
Yeah, that's the way I see it too. I mean, like, you would like, as for a story, for the NFL purposes of a nice story, Washington sounds good after the craziness those guys went through to begin the season. Of being in the news in the worst ways possible. But then you come back, you got the Rivera thing, you got Alex Smith, who, I don't know, if you haven't watched that documentary yet.
I haven't, but I will.
Oh, my God. It was unbelievable. The guy was near death. Like, and all of a sudden, 2 years later, the guy's starting in the NFC wildcard round, which is like blows your mind. But yeah, I think that game, as far as that's concerned, Brady's probably going to say, hey, kid, I've been here before. I kind of know what it is to feel the pressure. This is going to feel very reminiscent of any team with a good front. Like, you know, when Brady was getting to those Super Bowls and he was struggling with the Giants front was nasty.
Yeah.
You know, and that's why he struggled. So I think that is the recipe to beat a guy like Tom Brady. But I just like
the firepower on the other side just isn't there.
Right. That offense came on at the right time for them. They're starting to sizzle. Antonio Brown's catching touchdowns now.
And what is Washington really going to do on offense? I don't see it.
We just saw it.
Yeah.
We just saw their offense.
I don't see it.
Right. And we saw their offense.
Not to mention that I think that the NFL really has their eyes set on a Brady Rodgers matchup in round two if all top seeds advance, minus that one. I think that they're banking on the Bucs beating Washington. And then, like, the other two games, you know, obviously, I think the Saints have a way better chance at beating the Bears than the Bucks do of the Rams as far as the higher seeds go. But you never know. You know, with right now, Trubisky's 4-2 as a starter. The Bears kind of backed into the playoffs, but they kind of are playing their best football of the season right now.
I felt like they were the most boring, like, vanilla team to make the postseason.
Yeah,
like,
and
look at all the postseason teams.
At 8-8. People want to give the NFC East a lot of heat, and deservedly so. But they're 7-9. The Bears are 8-8. It's not like a bunch of good teams missed the playoffs, because you get what I'm saying. Like Arizona, 8-8. There's right there. You know, apples right. and oranges. If I'm concerned.
Yeah. So if you touch on the Bears and the Saints, I mean, the Saints without Drew Brees were winning ball games. I mean, Taysom Hill ruined a lot of people's Alvin Kamara stock for fantasy football for a long time. Look, Taysom Hill was probably the most hated guy in my household. My dad had Alvin Kamara in fantasy all year, so it's just like he's just like cherry picking touchdowns here and there.
I got eliminated because of Breeze's injury. Kamara shit the bed, but Kamara, when Breeze is on the field, Kamara is the best all purpose back in football. If you ask me, he does it all.
I think he's up there. I mean, yeah, you're right. He does it all. You can't really think about another back that catches as well as he does.
I say with Breeze on the field. So there's obviously guys that could bring, you know, but with the way that offense works and the way they use him, it's just, you know, the proof is in the pudding. And you see, the Saints are just a tough team. One of the most complete teams in football. I think that they lack certain things, you know, that they're not great at anything, but they're really good at everything. And they have been run on lately. Montgomery is playing good football. I just still see the Saints rolling in that one. It's going to be hard to go into the dome and beat the Saints in a playoff game.
We know there's no home field advantage as far as like crowd noise, but we do know that when that Saints team is on their own turf, no crowd doesn't matter. They're faster, they play loose, and I think the Bears, you know, as nice of a story as it was to get in the way they got in, I don't think they make it out of the first round.
Was it really nice though? No one cares. They backed in. They got lucky. Who cares? They started 4-1, and
I think they were 5-1.
Yeah, they were the one seed going into week six.
I literally.
Great story.
Said that.
Great
said,
story.
This is the worst 5-1 team I've ever seen. And this is before the Steelers went on their stupid run, where everybody's like, "Oh, the Steelers are beating the brakes off." I'm like, "Are they really though?" But anyway,
yeah.
Segueing into the final matchup on the NFC side, at least it's the Rams and the Seahawks, and this is a rematch of literally, like, I feel like it was
2 weeks ago. Yeah, it was 2 weeks ago. Yeah. This is the premier matchup, I think, in the NFC, arguably in the first round of the playoffs, both conferences. The Seahawks defense was so shit early on, but last five weeks, they're playing like a top 10 unit.
Yeah. I mean, and a good time for them to play a hobbled Jared Goff, who's
a game time. I think he's a game time decision. I think he'll play, but I don't know what really.
He's definitely going to play.
Yeah.
Yeah, he'll definitely play. The Rams offense, even with Goff, you know, Dallas played him first week, and I got a good chance to see them on the first week. And I know the first week's hard to judge because, you know, there was no preseason or anything like that. But I think that, like, the Rams don't really scare me. I mean, they're defensive driven. They're like, when Aaron Donald's on the field, then you're like, oh wow, these guys are actually,
if
like,
they had a bad running back that was actually like something that they could count on for 20 carries a game. All their backs are fragile.
Like,
they're all getting hurt, but they're all hurt.
Yeah.
I think Cam Akers might be healthy, but You know, their offensive line, I think, is banged up. They are getting, I think, three guys back. Michael Brockers is playing. I think Whitworth, who their left tackle, they're getting back. So they are getting some guys back, key players. I just think that Seattle right now is clicking, and it's going to be tough to beat Seattle in Seattle.
Yeah, I mean,
I know we talked about home field, but the quarterbacks, I think when you have an elite quarterback and you see it with Rodgers, the empty stadium helps them the most because they can manipulate the count. It's just like the two-minute drill, hurry-up offense, tempo. I think that's going to be a problem for the Rams on Sunday or Saturday. I'm not sure which day they play.
Yeah, I think they play Saturday. I don't know. I wrote it down. No, actually, they're the only NFC game on Saturday. So nice. No, Bucks and Washington, too. So there's actually two NFC games on Saturday. But now it's funny that we kind of picked the games without really picking the games, but – second round, just think about that. Like, it's Aaron Rodgers, it's Russ, it's Tom Brady, and it's Drew Brees. And that's just, like, cream of the crop.
The NFL is loving that.
Oh, the NFL is loving
that. If it goes down that way. Now, if there was going to be an upset, who do you think it would be in the NFC?
In the NFC? I guess by rule, I guess the upset would be the Rams.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, like, I don't foresee Washington's offense doing anything. I don't foresee the Bears doing anything offensively. Yeah, it's great that Mitch Trubisky finally turned it on, but, you know, it took him like 4 years to do that. So, you know, I'm not really bought on Trubisky being the guy to lead the Bears to the promised land. And like I just said, like even when they were hot, you know, in the beginning of the year, you just didn't get that feel like, oh my God, it's the Bears' year.
They came back on the Lions week one, like last second win. I think there was a couple wins.
Yeah.
I think they beat Atlanta on a last second win, like them and everybody else. I think that, you know, Chicago just got lucky early on. I wouldn't say lucky, but, you know, they had some good fortune. We'll say that.
Right.
And they are who they are now, though. They're just an 8-8 team.
Right. And you know, speaking of, you know, your fortunes, it seems like as we segue over to the AFC, the fortunes, this team, this fan base waited for 18 years to get to the playoffs, and the Cleveland Browns have finally done it, but at the expense of now Baker Mayfield, and I'll touch on Baker Mayfield as far as like how I think he is as a quarterback, but he loses his coach. Kevin Stefanski's out.
Love that coach, too. One of the best, you know, great job this season with Stefanski. We'll talk about that in our end of the season awards episode, but yeah, he has a really strong case for coach of the year, and you got to wonder, like, what do you mean not coaching? Can't he just fucking coach from the booth?
Well, that's what I said. I was like, put a hazmat suit on this guy and put him up in the booth next to nobody. Like, there's no reason. There is no reason in my mind with all the technology nowadays.
He could coach from his house.
Have a guy there.
Yeah, man. They could definitely. He could coach.
It's not enough.
I'm doing a podcast from my living room. You're in your man attic. You know, if we could do this, they could coach an NFL game from the booth.
Right.
Just go up top, isolate.
Right. He could be by himself in a room. There's plenty of suites. There's no goddamn fans. So he can actually be in the last row if he wanted to be by himself. You know, but they're just like, nope, sorry. Sorry, Cleveland.
Did they name the players that were?
It was their left guard, I believe.
Man, so that's not good. Their offensive line has been.
That's their offensive lineman. Down.
Yeah, makes things tick for them. They are a run first team, so interior linemen for them are more, I wouldn't say more important, but, you know, that is
how
their fiber.
I mean, your thoughts on Baker Mayfield as a whole? Do you think the kid is?
Right,
are you eye roll? I know the
I don't like Baker. You know, I just don't like him. I don't like the way he acts. I don't like, but you know, I'll be like Baker sucks, and then he'll throw four touchdowns in the first half.
He falls into this category of like boo-boo faced new age quarterbacks. Meaning, if their mood's off, they're just a shit quarterback. Like, if he's off, he's way off. That goes for everybody. If you've ever seen, like, the way Kyler Murray plays the game, like, when he's
on,
argue
with my father, bro, about Aaron Rodgers. He's like, I'm like, yeah, he's got to deal with Mike McCarthy for 10 seasons. You don't understand why. I would be pouting, too.
That's a nightmare now. Yeah. But anyway.
But you're right. You're right.
He's like a boo-boo face. So, like, now he doesn't have his coach to reel him in. They were playing their best football because they lost the diva receiver in Odell Beckham.
Mm.
You know, so he's not forcing it anywhere. He's slinging it all over the place. It got fun to watch the Cleveland Browns in the last couple weeks. And you're like, wow, they're going to make the playoffs. This is going to be fun. They do that. And, well, again, at least the Steelers knew they have a spot in the playoffs. So, therefore, they could say, hey, we never really had an actual bye week. So, Ben, take the week off. You know, like, and they didn't look laid down, but they did that
prior to. Tomlin handled that the way all coaches handle that. So we're not going to compare the two, but I just think that it's a very different situation. Plus the flex, you know, if they would have flexed the Pittsburgh game, then like, you know, the NFL fucked up. Let's just say that.
Right. Definitely. So Baker as a whole, no head coach, taking on the Steelers. And which the Steelers, to me, this year, they were inches away from losing to Garrett Gilbert of the Cowboys, and that was our third quarterback. They were inches away to losing to Jacksonville at moments. They beat up on their own division, meaning Cincinnati, and then Cincinnati kind of returned a favor and beat them once. Do you buy the Steelers to just run amok on the Browns without a head coach?
Honestly, I like the Steelers anyway. You know, I just think that the way trends go in the NFL, the sexy pick going into this week was the Browns. Like, the Browns made it, and everyone would like to trash the Steelers for the past month. But at the same time, the Steelers are, what, are they a 12-win team? 13-win team?
Yeah.
You know, there's no such thing as a bad 13-win team. I don't want to hear it. And when we're talking about proof in the playoffs, like, I want to see it in the playoffs. I know Mike Tomlin wins in the playoffs. I know Big Ben has what it takes in the playoffs. I haven't seen Baker win. Now, the whole AFC in general, we got a lot of quarterbacks that are looking to make a name for themselves. Baker 0-0 postseason. Josh Allen 0-1. Lamar 0-2. A lot of these guys got to prove themselves. I got to see it to believe it out of a lot of them. You know, now with no coach, I think Pittsburgh is gonna roll in Pitt. Okay. But I do kind of think that they were going to roll anyway. So I don't think that the COVID thing has much to do with it. I just think that now the Browns have an excuse.
Yeah, I mean, I know. Look, I think the Steelers took advantage of a lot of their schedule. I think that they did get the runaround with the whole COVID thing, and like, their schedule was probably more altered than anybody else, and they kind of overcame that. Steelers don't have a running game, and I thought James Conner was like one of those guys that you could rely on, but like, he's out every 3 seconds. Benny Snell, serviceable, but he's no like superstar.
And they got
their
no
running game. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, I heard the stat today that 86% of their play calls
pass.
Pass.
Yeah, they just don't run. So it's like a combination of play calling and just lack of execution when they actually do it. So like, they're a little lower in the rushing ranks than they actually are per yards per carry. Like, they're not terrible running the ball. They just don't run. So like, their counting stats at the end of the day are not there.
Yeah, and they have a quarterback.
Most of the teams have a quarterback that at least takes off a little bit. Big Ben doesn't ever anymore. You know, so that's a factor. But at the end of the day, their receivers, as much drops as they have, you know, they're four deep. And any one of those guys could take it to the house on any play. As crazy as it sounds, I feel like Juju is their worst, you know.
I think he's on a contract year, too.
Yeah, which I feel like he's gone. But we'll see how that plays out. But either way, I'll go with Tomlin over this no-name coach that I don't even know who's the interim coach or the fill-in coach for Cleveland.
Special teams coordinator.
All right. You know,
he's calling the plays. Now.
Good for him. Maybe, you know, everybody deserves their chance. I'm not saying, you know, he could be the guy.
It's just a muck, just a complete muck. Like, Stefanski gets the coach the entire time. And while NFL coaches can script the first series, that's really it. You know, like, you could say, like, this is the three plays we're going to run the first time we get the ball. But after that, it's all situational, you know, and like, that's when you're going to have to rely on.
I think with a quarterback like Baker, too, who, like you said, likes to pout when things don't go his way. Early going, you got to get that offense started early. Like, if they get behind, especially against a defense like Pittsburgh, it's just going to be hard to come back on them with the pass rush.
They always got one of the top defenses in the league.
Yeah, they always do.
Yeah, always do. It's one of those things. So one of the cooler, more fun stories of the year has been the Buffalo Bills. Now, if there was two byes, like normal playoffs, they'd be sitting here just chilling. Either that or the Steelers. But the fun story of the year was the Buffalo Bills, and they're playing the Colts. When I think about blowouts in playoff games, this is the one I kind of circled. I think the Bills are rolling right now. I think Josh Allen is in consideration, won't win MVP. That guy's sitting in Green Bay, and I'm sure you're happy about that. But he's in consideration. I think he should be talked about. I think he should be talked about more for his total touchdowns, more like Rodgers too.
Yeah.
You know, the guy can run. The guy can get away. The guy's a monster. He's like 6'5".
Put it this way. If you look at MVP seasons out of quarterbacks, Josh Allen had an MVP year. Cam's season that he won MVP, Josh Allen obliterated those numbers.
Right.
So he definitely had an MVP campaign. A lot of guys really did this season. It's been the year of the offense. I mean, it's trending forward in the NFL just in general. Right. Offense is up, but yeah, Josh Allen's.
And they're playing, the Bills are playing a Colts team in which I'm happy that Phillip Rivers finally gets to go to the playoffs because of all those teams that
but like it's his swan song. This is probably his, might be his last game as a pro.
Yeah, his swan song. I think they have the Eagles on hold right now saying, like, we'll give you whatever you want, just give us Carson Wentz. But I don't foresee the Colts even coming close in this one. I really, there's not enough offense. They got a couple of bright stars on their running game, but like it took like 12 weeks for T.Y. Hilton to finally get his footing. You know what I mean? Like, and you would think like when Phillip Rivers is signed by the Colts, you're like, wow, Rivers and Hilton, this is going to be fun. Yeah, you know what I mean? And it took forever.
They're getting a playoff game at Orchard Park and they are letting fans in. I think it's like 8,000 to 10,000 yeah, fans. That fan base has been dying for this, and they got it. I think they got it last year, but now they got a home game, which is like very important. I think, like we were talking, the home field advantage. Just I lean towards the better quarterback, and not to say Phillip Rivers
over under on tables broken.
Oh God, the over under is probably. I mean, is there 8,000 fans allowed in the stadium? So you got to figure at least one out of every two is going to break a table. I'd say over under 4,000. I'll take the over. Definitely.
Home Depot is going to be busy, boy. So obviously we're kind of lockstep with the Bills getting to the second round. And then that leaves us with Lamar Jackson to play.
The most pressure on anybody in the postseason, I think, at least in the first round, is Lamar. Hands down.
Yeah. I mean, the Titans have played, obviously, just as well as they did last year. They kind of picked up where they left off. You know, they didn't really miss a beat. But the Ravens for a little while were – on the outside looking in, you know what I mean? So they had to turn it on towards the end, and obviously they did enough to get to the
diarrhea game. The Lamar's diarrhea game was the turning point for them. It really was.
And listen, as a longtime Cowboys fan, I'm looking at him right in the eye right now because he's behind my laptop, but I'm excited for Dez Bryant, man. I am real excited for that guy to get into the playoffs, throw up the X. I mean, and you know, you being the Packer fan you are, you can come back at me now and say he caught it. It's fine. You can say it.
Like, all right. I'm just going to stick to what I've always said about this. Like, it was a catch if we're playing in the backyard, but under the NFL rule set, that was, wasn't a catch.
My mind? Right. You know what blows my mind is that Mike McCarthy on Sunday wouldn't challenge a catch with Dante Pettis.
Bro, Mike McCarthy.
But, bro, get used to it. You know what the funniest part is? He wouldn't challenge that. And his quote was, it was too close. We didn't want to lose a timeout. God forbid we were wrong. And I'm like, bro, you ran your fat ass down the sidelines to challenge that Dez Bryant catch before anybody
that
else.
That might be the last time he took a fucking step running, by the way. Jesus. He's going to explode that dude. Now.
Thank you very much for that. I appreciate it.
Bro, he was Mr. 8-8. He won up Jason Garrett, and he was like, I could do you one better. Hold my beer. He's like, six wins. Here's these six wins. And honestly, the Cowboys had it rough this season. Six wins is actually a testament. In a sense, like losing Dak just killed.
That's no Dak Prescott. So yeah. That's whatever. So Titans, Ravens, Lamar hits his stride. The Titans, obviously, Derrick Henry. I don't think the 2,000 yards has been talked about enough.
We look at Derrick Henry and look at Ryan Tannehill, the most underappreciated players in the league. Definitely Tannehill. Like if you look at his numbers, they're like Pat Mahomes. Nobody's talking about Tannehill. Now,
right. He's
not Mahomes. You know, but he's pretty good, man. And I like them in this game.
Which is mind-blowing, considering where he came from. Everybody was like, Tannehill, why are you signing Tannehill? And then all of a sudden, bang, he just comes out, wins a playoff game, gets all the way, you know, does his thing, beats Tom Brady, does his resume is building. And he's kind of made – I mean, A.J. Brown's a beast, I think, but he really – like, Corey Davis has come on. You know what I mean? Like, they got a pretty good offense, and their defense is nothing to sniff about.
The problem with their defense is getting after the quarterback. They got no pass rush, and in a weird way, I feel like that almost plays well into the Lamar thing. Like, why get after him? You kind of spy him. We'll see. They handled Lamar perfectly last season. See who makes the adjustment. Harbaugh's a great coach. Vrabel has showed his worth in the two seasons that I've seen him. You know, he's great managing the clock. Just really doesn't make mistakes. It's a Belichick guy. But I don't know. I just don't see Lamar getting over the playoff hump. The Titans have been his kryptonite. They beat him up this year. They beat him up in the playoffs last year. So what do you think?
Do you think it's all in psyche right now? Like, you just can't get past this one.
I think that there's two things. I think it's one, it's his psyche, maybe, but it's also, it's like he has limitations when they're down. If the Titans get to an early lead and they're able to run the ball, get Derrick Henry going, Lamar can't play from behind. And I shouldn't say Lamar. They don't really have weapons either to play from behind. They don't have, like, you know, Marquise Brown isn't a guy that is going to catch 10 balls. He's right. Like two for 60 and maybe a big touch.
He's not these big bodied guys that can take over a game. He's the let's throw the flyer out every so often and see if you can burn somebody.
And like while they have Dez isn't the same Dez.
Right. I mean, we've watched Dez catch a couple touchdown passes this year. It was a feel good moment, but then you think about like, well, you know, that's great. But is he going to do that in a big spot? We don't know. But dude, wild card weekend. How do you feel overall about the whole seventh seed?
I like being the fact that the Packers are the only team with a bye, but if you ask me, like, another season, if we didn't have the one seed, then I don't know. You know, I guess I don't mind it because I think that the team that gets the one seed should earn more than, you know, like, so, like, I like that sense and I like the extra team in, but, you know, I guess
I just don't want to fall. I don't want to fall into the whole NBA where, like, half the league gets in no matter what, you know, and we're almost there. You know, there's 32 teams. 14 teams of that 32. Once you get to 16, that's half the league. So it's like, so you really got really to suck.
Who's not the seventh seed in the AFC? Is the seventh seed? Who's the seventh seed in the AFC? I'm trying to think of the two teams that would be out. I know it would be
The seventh seed in the AFC.
Chicago would be out, and the Colts would be out.
Chicago's out, and I believe it wasn't it the Browns?
The Colts.
Oh, the Colts, yeah.
Right? So, I mean, I guess we could do without them. I mean, you know, I don't fucking care about the
Bears. We know what it's about, man. It's about the dollar signs, about the TV revenue. And obviously, we don't know where the, you know, the salary cap's going to be next year, which is going to determine a lot, especially on my Cowboys front, because we're all trying to pay Dak Prescott. We don't know if we can do it yet. It'll happen. I'm not worried about it yet. But, Chris, episode one, Chop Sports, this is what it's all about.
It's been fun.
Once we drop this in there, people are going to listen. People are going to be like, these guys are morons, or these guys know what they're talking about, or they can pick on their own thing. We'll do a little contest, whatever. Who can pick the most games? I don't care. We'll shout you out. We'll get you. You know what? We're pick the most games, you can get a spot on the damn podcast.
We're open to all ideas for sure. But yeah, it was fun, brother.
Yeah, man. So for Dave Sturcio, Chris Gucci, of course, thank you guys for tuning in for the first episode of Chop Sports Podcast. And we'll be back next time with a whole bunch of new stuff, new ideas. And obviously we'll be the NFL will be, you know, six teams shorter. So till next time.
Have a good one, guys.